Law number 10, the law of connection. Leaders touch a heart before they ask for a hand. There are incidents in the lives and careers of leaders that become defining moments for their leadership. In the perception of followers, the general public, and historians, those moments often represent who those leaders are and what they stand for. Here's an example of what I mean. I believe the presidency of George W. Bush can be summed up by two defining moments that he experienced during his time of office. The first moment occurred early in his first term, and it defined that entire term in office. Just 4 days after the collapse of the World Trade Center towers, Bush went to Ground Zero. He spent time there with the firefighters, police officers, and rescue workers. He shook hands. He listened. He took in the devastation. He thanked the people working there and told them, "The nation sends its love and compassion to everybody who's here." Reports said that the spirits of the tired searchers lifted when the president arrived and started shaking hands. Cameras captured Bush standing in the wreckage with his arm around firefighter Bob Beckwith. When some members of the crowd shouted that they couldn't hear him, Bush called back, "I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon." The people cheered. They felt validated. They felt understood. Bush had connected with them in a way no one had seen him do prior to that moment. The second incident came during Bush's second 4 years in office, and it defined that second term. It occurred on August 31, 2005, just 2 days after the landfall of Hurricane Katrina. After the levees in New Orleans broke and the water flooded into the city, instead of visiting the city as he did in New York after 9/11, Bush flew over New Orleans in Air Force One, peering through one of the jet's small windows to see the damage. To the people on the Gulf Coast, it was a picture of indifference. After the worst of the tragedy was over, no matter what President Bush said or how much help he provided, he was unable to regain the people's confidence and trust. He had failed to connect with the people. He had broken the law of connection. For leaders to be effective, they need to connect with people. Why? Because you first have to touch people's hearts before you can ask for their hand. That is the law of connection. All great leaders and communicators recognize this truth and act on it almost instinctively. You can't move people to action unless you first move them with emotion. An outstanding orator and African-American leader of the 19th century was Frederick Douglass. It's said that he had a remarkable ability to connect with people and move their hearts when he spoke. Historian Luron Bennett said of Douglass, "He could make people laugh at a slave owner preaching the duties of Christian obedience, could make them see the humiliation of a black maiden ravished by a brutal slave owner, could make them hear the sobs of a mother separated from her child. Through him, people could cry, curse, and feel. Through him, they could live slavery." Good leaders work at connecting with others all the time, whether they are communicating to an entire organization or working with a single individual. The stronger the relationship you form with followers, the greater the connection you forge, and the more likely those followers will be to want to help you. I used to tell my staff, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. They would groan because they heard me say it so much, but they recognized that it was true nonetheless. You develop credibility with people when you connect with them and show that you genuinely care and want to help them. And as a result, they usually respond in kind and want to help you. How do you connect? Whether you're speaking in front of a large audience or chatting in the hallway with an individual, the guidelines are the same. Communicate with openness and sincerity. People can smell a phony a mile away. Legendary NFL coach Bill Walsh observed, "Nothing is more effective than sincere, accurate praise, and nothing more lame than a cookie-cutter compliment." Authentic leaders connect. Know your audience. When you work with individuals, knowing your audience means learning their names, finding out about their histories, asking about their dreams. When you communicate to an audience, you learn about the organization and its goals. You want to speak to what they care about, not just what you care about. Live your message. Perhaps the most important thing you can do as a leader and communicator is to practice what you preach. That's where credibility comes from. Plenty of people out in the marketplace are willing to say one thing to an audience, but to do something else, they don't last. Go where they are. As a communicator, I dislike any kind of barrier to communication. I don't like to be too far from my audience or too high above them on stage. And I definitely don't want any physical barriers between me and the people. But a person's method of communication can also be a barrier. Whether I'm speaking from a stage or sitting across from someone in my office, I try to speak the other person's language to go to that person. I try to be attuned to others' culture, background, education, and so on. I adapt to others. I don't expect them to adapt to me. Focus on them, not yourself. If you go on an elevator with me and ask me to tell you the secret to good communication before I got off the next floor, I'd tell you to focus on others, not yourself. That is the number one problem of inexperienced speakers, and it is also the number one problem of ineffective leaders. You will always connect faster when your focus is not on yourself. Believe in them. It's one thing to communicate to people because you believe you have something of value to say. It's another thing to communicate with people because you believe they have value. People's opinion of us has less to do with what they see in us than it does with what we can help them see in themselves. Some leaders have problems with the law of connection because they believe that connecting is the responsibility of the followers. That is especially true of positional leaders. They often think, I'm the boss, I have the position, these are my employees, let them come to me. But successful leaders who obey the law of connection are always initiators. They take the first step with others and then make the effort to continue building relationships. That's not always easy, but it's important to the success of the organization. A leader has to do it no matter how many obstacles there might be. I learned this lesson in 1972 when I was faced with a very difficult situation. I was moving to Lancaster, Ohio to accept the leadership of a church there. It was going to be a big step up in responsibility for me. And before I accepted the position, I learned that the church had just gone through a big battle relating to a building project. Heading up one of the factions was the number one influence in the church, a man named Jim. I also heard that Jim had the reputation for being negative and somewhat of a maverick. He liked to use his influence to move the people in directions that didn't always help the organization. Because the previous leader of the church had faced opposition from Jim more than a few times, I knew that I needed to win him over. Otherwise, I would always have conflict with him. If you want someone on your side, don't try to convince them. Connect with him. That's what I determined to do. So the first thing I did when I got to my new position was to make an appointment to meet Jim in my office. Jim, I said, as he sat in my office, I know you're the influencer in this church, and I want you to know that I've decided I'm going to do everything in my power to build a good relationship with you. I'd like to meet with you every Tuesday for lunch at the Holiday Inn to talk through issues. While I'm the leader here, I'll never take any decision to the people without first discussing it with you. I really want to work with you. But I also want you to know that I've heard you're a negative person. I continued, and that you like to fight battles. If you decide to work against me, our guests will just have to be on opposite sides. And because you have so much influence, I know that you'll win most of the time, at least in the beginning. But I'm going to develop relationships with people and draw new people to this church. This church will grow, and someday I'll have greater influence than you. But I don't want to battle you, I confided. You're 65 years old right now. Let's say you've got another 10 to 15 years of good health and productivity ahead of you. If you want, you can make these years your very best and make your life count. We can do a lot of great things together in this church, I summed up, but the decision is yours. When I finished, Jim didn't say a word. He got up from his seat, walked into the hall, and stopped to take a drink at the water fountain. I followed him out and I waited. I didn't know whether he was going to dress me down, declare war, or tell me to take a hike. After a long time, Jim stood up straight and turned around. When he did, I could see that tears were rolling down his cheeks. And then he gave me a great big bear hug and said, "You can count on me to be on your side." And Jim did get on my side. As it turned out, he did live another 10 years, and because he was willing to help me, a young kid with a vision, we accomplished many positive things together. But it never would have happened if I hadn't had the courage to try to make a connection with him that first day in my office. One of the companies I admire is Southwest Airlines. The company has been successful and profitable while other airlines have filed for bankruptcy and folded. The person responsible for the initial success of the organization and the creation of its culture is Herb Kelleher, the company's founder and current executive chairman of the board. I love what Southwest employees did on Boss's Day in 1994 because it shows the kind of connection Kelleher made with his people. They took out a full-page ad in USA Today and addressed the following message to Kelleher. "Thanks, Herb, for remembering every one of our names, for supporting the Ronald McDonald House, for helping load baggage on Thanksgiving, for giving everyone a kiss, and we mean everyone, for listening, for running the only profitable major airline, for singing at our holiday party, for singing only once a year, for letting us wear shorts and sneakers to work, for golfing at the Love Classic with only one club, for out-talking Sam Donaldson, for riding your Harley-Davidson into Southwest headquarters, for being a friend, not just a boss. Happy Boss's Day from each one of your 16,000 employees." A display of affection like that occurs only when a leader has worked hard to connect with his people. Don't ever underestimate the importance of building relational bridges between yourself and the people you lead. There's an old saying, to lead yourself, use your head. To lead others, use your heart. That's the nature of the law of connection. Always touch a person's heart before you ask him for a hand.